Yay. Someone say yay with me.
Yay.
I'm really, really happy. I'm happy. It's a good day. We are going to pray for you at the end of service, so I'm going to try to be as brief as possible, so possibly probably about 1:30 you'll be out. We are going to pray. There's a couple things I felt like we wanted to pray for. But primarily what I want to pray for is that we all see. I want to see. I want to see. Can you see me? There is something about God that we need to see, right? And I want to say thank you for patiently allowing me to go through the prayers of Paul, because we're not doing just an overview. We're really looking at what Paul is praying for. And I want to encourage you that join us together, that we pray together. This is what intercessory prayer looks like. If you've ever heard that phrase, well, you're supposed to intercede. This is what it looks like. Paul was interceding. He was going before or standing before God on behalf of someone else. And what did he pray for? And you and I can pray these prayers knowing that this is what God's desire is for our lives, that he really wants us to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation is that something that is of value is already there. It's just been covered. You just can't see it yet. And God wants us to see all that he's done for us. And then wisdom is the practical application of that. So as we read Paul's letter, he says in the first chapter, he goes, God has lavished his grace on you. Think about this. Before there was anything, God chose you as his. I got two, that's right. I thought I'd at least get someone to go, yay. I mean, you were chosen before the foundations of the world to be his. How valuable you are. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're not just here because two people got together and shazam, you're here. God knew you were going to be here at this time, at this place, and he says, I've chosen you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And because he chose us, he gave us everything we need that we might have relationship with him, because what sin did was sin broke relationship. And so what God did, he sent his son that we might have relationship with them, so that you and I can see all that God has done for us. And so Paul is praying this. And so I want to say thank you for that. And I want us to, before I go two seconds more, I want us to pray for those for Memorial Day weekend that have lost people, that people have given their lives for our country, people that have passed away. I want us to really take a moment as a church family. And I know you've been standing for a while, but could you stand with me for one more time in honor and in reverence? And can we take a moment and just pray for those families that have felt that sense of loss, and that the God of all comfort would be there with them? And so, Lord, we gather together and we stand in reverence and we stand in honor, Father God, that this holiday that has now become something of fun and celebration getaway, Lord, it started in memory to remember those who gave their lives on behalf of our country. And God, we pray for our families. We pray those families, God, that have given their lives, whether it be in the police force, whether it be in the military, whether it be anyone who has served our country. God, we pray you bless these families in ways that would have deep meaning for them. And God, we stand today in behalf. We are interceding. We are standing for them today, asking that the God of all grace would pour out his love and he'd pull out his mercy into their hearts. And God, we pray that the God of all comfort would be known to them in fantastic ways. And Lord, today we pause and we say thank you for sacrifice. Thank you for those who gave their lives for our country. We bless them, their families today in Jesus' name. Yes and amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing. Thank you for praying. If you go to Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to be looking at the second part of Paul's prayer, and then we're moving on next week, that there's a reason why he prays this. Lord willing, the following week, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3, because it's another prayer of intercession. And we're also going to be looking at today Colossians chapter 1, because it is another prayer of intercession. So maybe you've heard this phrase, man, be an intercessor. Well, how do I do that? Start this way. Start with these prayers, knowing that this is the heart of God for people. So if you'll read with me in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 21, and we'll move on. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. So Paul's saying, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. There's two things that are necessary for sight. Two things that are necessary for vision, to be able to see. You have to have sight and you have to have light. For you and I to be able to see, physically or spiritually, you got to have sight and you got to have light. So a person who is blind can walk in the midday sun and not be able to see. You have to have sight. And a person with perfect vision, if they're put into a cave where there is no light, they cannot see. And so you and I must understand, physically but also spiritually, for us to be able to have vision, we have to have the ability to see and we have to have light to see. And so when Paul is praying for them, what he's praying for is that they would have the ability to see, the light to see. And so we recognize something. We've been here for a while. In Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says that if I don't have Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, all of this stuff doesn't make sense. That it's the Spirit of God who makes sense of what is going on here. 1 Corinthians 2:14. That you and I have to have the Spirit of God for us to have to understand spiritual things. Paul also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and listen as I read, he says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. So, when you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, when we present the gospel, one of the things we have to recognize is the God of this age, which is Satan, has blinded the minds of those who have not accepted Christ yet. The mind can't see it. And what we discover a lot in the argument against God, it's intellectual arguments. Well, if God is love, then why is there suffering? If God is great, then why is this happening? If God is real, then why this? If there's so many different religions, surely these other religions can't be wrong. The God of this age has blinded the minds. But God, what he does is he reveals light to our hearts. And when we see it in our heart, that's when life change happens. So for you and I to have walked into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not just mentally we understand something. It's that something within our hearts sees that Jesus Christ is who he is. So me, my journey, raised in church my whole life, heard sermon after sermon after sermon. I'm now 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14 years old, heard sermon after sermon after sermon, kind of responded at about 14, walked forward, said the sinner's prayer, but nothing really changed. Went to church, played the drums in our youth choir, played for our church. I was there Monday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I was five times a week I was in church, heard the message over and over again. Nothing really changed until I saw it. Until I saw it. If you're here today and you say, Mike, I go to church and it doesn't make sense to me, just keep coming. You never know when you'll say, I see it. Never stop being around people who see it, because you never know when God's going to say, and we go, I see it. And when that happened, my life changed. It took about 18 years of being in church, but my life changed. Why? I couldn't see it. Jesus would teach the Jews in parables, and he said it this about them in Matthew chapter 13. He says, though seeing, they do not see, and though hearing, they do not hear or understand. That without the Spirit of God, we don't see. And without the Spirit of God, we don't understand. But I love what Paul says, or what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says this, but you, say, I am.
I am.
Say it with me, I am. You are a chosen people. That you have been chosen by God Almighty. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That you and I lived in darkness. And it doesn't mean we weren't moral people or try to be good people or try to be kind people or be polite people. Without Jesus, we are in darkness. But what did God do? He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so here's what I want you to do. Peter says this. He says, you are chosen people that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So can you and I take about 15 seconds and praise God that he called us, declare his praises, because he called us out of darkness into light. Okay? Can you do this with me? Father, we thank you. Come on, lift your voice with mine. Father, thank you that you called us out of darkness into light. Thank you. We declare your praise because we lived in darkness. We lived where we couldn't see. We lived where we couldn't understand. We lived where our life was our senses. We lived, oh God, where just whatever the culture said was valuable, that's what we did. God, but you called us out of darkness into your glorious, marvelous light. And we give you praise. We declare that only you can do that. And we bless you today in Jesus' name. And you say yes and amen with me.
Amen.
So now we get to enjoy spiritual things. Now the scriptures become alive. Now we have this relationship with Holy Spirit. Now you and I become awakened to a whole different world. We become awakened. Jesus called it the kingdom of God. That there is another kingdom wherever we live. There's another universe. There's another world. There's another place that we get to live. And dear ones, when we live it, we get to show a world that is still in darkness what it means to live in light. How can you have joy in the midst of this? Because the joy is from the Lord. How can you have peace when life is this way? Because I serve the Prince of Peace. How can you love people who are unlovable? It's because I've received a love that has no limits to it. And we begin, how did that person get well when you prayed for them? Because we have a God who is alive and he shows himself by doing miracles in the hearts and lives of people because he loves them. This is the church. This is what Paul's praying for. This is what life is supposed to be about in the kingdom of God. And Paul is praying that this would take place in ever-increasing measure in the lives of the church. And also, Paul recognizes, and I think we do too, because he writes about it in Romans, he writes about it in Corinthians, he writes about it in Ephesians and Galatians and Colossians. Paul writes about this reality that because we live in a world that is of darkness, you and I came out of darkness, but there's still something within us that is kind of attracted to darkness. Paul says in Romans, he says, put off the evil deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Paul says in Galatians, he says, don't go back to darkness. Darkness is the way you used to live, but live in the light of the glory of God. Paul says it in Ephesians as well, Colossians as well. You used to live like this. Well, what is that? That's what darkness looks like. And you remember, to have sight, you got to have the ability to see, and you got to have light. And so what darkness does, it has a tendency to cloud our ability to see. My mom, as you all know, In April, we went to go see Deb's mom, who had knee surgery, and my mom, her 80th birthday, but she also had cataract surgery. And I saw my mom afterwards. She had one eye done. Then 2 weeks later, she had the other eye done. I said, "Mom, can you tell any difference?" And she said, "Mike, it is amazing." She goes, "I didn't realize this, but over time, the colors all became gray." So it was green gray. It was blue gray. She goes, "I can tell it was blue, but it was a bluish gray. I can tell the trees were green, but it was a greenish gray. But now if I hold the eye that still has a cataract and I look through the eye that the cataracts have been removed, trees are beautiful. They're vibrant. Colors are amazing. I didn't realize how gray my life became until I could see." And this is what the Spirit of God does in us. The society we live in, the world we live in, if we allow it, it can begin to gray out our walk with God. But Paul is praying, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that our sight would be removed from cloudiness so that we can see the vibrancy and the beauty and the wonder and the greatness of God. Am I the only one smiling? Please smile with me. Because this is what he's wanting for all of us, that our walk with God is like, yay. So, eyes of the heart. Just like the eyes of the organ to see, the eyes of the heart is the understanding and the knowledge we have of God. And Paul says that you would be enlightened. Deb, can you throw me my phone? Watch this. She's an awesome thrower. Watch this. Ta-da. Thank you. Watch this. Here's what Paul was saying. Now, he didn't have cameras in his days, in his day, but the enlightened is the word photozo, where we get the word photograph. And so right now, on my phone, I've got an app called Camera. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
See, I can see you all look wonderful. Okay. Now, I'm going to take your picture unless you're wanted by the FBI, then duck your face. I'm going to take your picture, and I want you to, maybe you can hear what happens, but when I take your picture, something happens. Did you hear the click?
Yeah.
Do it again. Okay. This phone has a camera. Fact. Oh, almost tripped. Hey, I've never fallen off the steps before. Do you guys remember when I fell off the steps? Do you remember that? Remember that? You guys had a barbecue because I was at the hospital with an ankle about this big. It was beautiful. Good thing I used to be an athlete. Okay, ready? Everybody? Everybody ready? Everybody wave. Okay, wait. I got to get the angle. There. Everybody wave. Hi.
Hi.
Click. All I got was the top of my bald head. Here's what Paul is saying. Like a shutter lets in light of a camera so that the image can be imprinted upon, now it's a hard drive. It used to actually be film. Remember, you used to have to develop film? Now it's a hard drive. The shutter opens in to let the light in to capture the image. And when it captures the image, that image is burned on a hard drive so that you can maintain it, you can see it, you can have it. So when Paul says, now again, he didn't have a camera, but we understand how cameras work. Paul said that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, that the shutter of your heart would be open, that your heart would be open to see, your heart would be open to take in the light, your heart would be open to capture, and Paul says, the glory of God in the face of Jesus, that your heart would be open to be able to take this, I see it. And you know, the more light you have, you don't have to open the shutter very much, but the darker it is, the shutter has to stay open longer to capture the image. And Paul says, like, not a camera, because they didn't have it that time, but he's saying to the church of Ephesus that your heart would be able to capture the light so that you could see God. The eyes of our heart open. So here's what he's praying for. He's praying for all of us that we would have a heart that's open a heart that's humble, and a heart that's willing to be instructed. Have you ever tried to teach your kids something when you knew they were listening to you, but they really weren't listening to you? And you're right in what you're saying, and they nod their head because they understand the word you're saying, but it hasn't opened up into their heart yet. And so they can hear, and maybe in their mind they're going, oh, there's dad again, blah, 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 because their heart isn't open yet to receive the light. Paul is constantly praying, Spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's unceasingly, this is what I'm praying for you in Ephesus. And I'm also unceasingly praying for the eyes of your heart that you might actually be enlightened. And here's why. To know is simply, he goes, that you may know the hope. It's real simple. The word know means to see. That the eyes of your heart would be open so that you can see the hope, the inheritance, and the power. Have you ever prayed for someone and they didn't get well? Have you ever been in situations where you feel like, man, there's no hope in this situation? Have you ever wondered, what is this life about? I am just mucking about trying to pay my bills and trying to get by. Have you ever felt that way? Paul is saying for all of us, we need to see now. We got to have our hearts opened so that we can see all that God has done for us. I am seeing things now that I have read for years, but the Holy Spirit is doing this. Chink, chink, chink. I'm reading the scripture. Chink, chink. I got a camera going off in my heart. Chink, chink, chink. You know, it's like, and I'm writing this stuff down. Slow down, slow down, slow down. I got this automatic lit, you know, it's just focusing. It's so amazing. And I just go, God, this is amazing. I want all of your people to see how amazing you are. I am praying this every day. I want the clutter of your, not clutter. What is that? Shutter. Thank you. I want the shutter of your heart just to go. Yeah. Let the shutter get rid of the clutter, brother. Oh, sorry. I'm just a, you mutter. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to rap. Not very, very good at it. Oh, my camera's stolen. Let's look at Colossians 1:9. I'm almost done. See, what I love about my father is he's so patient. God isn't up there. God is not in my heart going, come on, man, figure it out, figure it out. He is so patient in showing. He is so patient in loving. He's so patient and gracious. I'm discovering, I talk to some folks and they kind of look at me sideways and I go, okay, Father, I just understand. They're just not at a point yet of having their heart open to get it. So I don't condemn them. I don't make fun of them. I just, oh God, open their heart to see. Yeah. Just open their heart. You love them so much. Just open that shutter. My life, there's some things that I'm still struggling with, trying to understand in scripture. And I just understand my heart just hasn't been opened yet. God is still working to open up so I can understand. And he's opening up so much now that, man, he's just continually, just that shutter's opening, the light's coming in, and it's transformative. It's the power we've talked about. But look what Paul prays in Colossians. Here's something else you can pray if you like. Because again, he unceasingly prays for it. And he also says, I don't pray for it, but other people pray for it. Because he uses the word we. And I'd ask you to pray these prayers over your family. Pray these prayers over this church. Verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God, what is he asking? To fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Again, God uses the intellect. But it's not just the intellect we understand it. It's Holy Spirit by which we have it revealed to us for us to see. Verse 10, and why does he pray this? We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, What does that look like, Paul? It means you're bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all, here's our word, power, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance. Here's that thought we'll talk about next week. To share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Dear ones, dear family, that we may know, that we may see, that we will capture it and go, I get it. Because our hearts are willing to learn. Our hearts are open to him. We see. And if Christianity is kind of like, for me, it was 18 years. I went there because my folks made me first. My friends were their second, and there was a hot chick that was going that liked me. Ended up marrying her. Cha-ching. Thank God that my folks got me up and said, get your hindquarters to church. Because I can remember, and God can do this anywhere at any time. It doesn't have to be in church. It could be at any point. It could be in your devotional time. It's not a location. It's a heart condition. But I remember something in my heart as God was preparing my heart to be open to receive. Life was like, I'm only 18, and I'm just kind of, man, is this all there is? Is this all there is to Christianity? You just go faithfully to church, and you serve, and you give money, and then... Is this all there is to life? Is just to just try to find a job and make more money? Is that it? Is that what it's all about? Then you got to have 2.5 children and a dog and a cat. And is that all there was? And God was preparing my heart to say, Mike, there's something more here, but you're looking in the wrong place. And then it was like, I see. And I remember an associate pastor was speaking. And he said this, he talked about the lepers who were in Kings, and they were about to die because the Assyrian army they surrounded Jerusalem, and there was famine and there was death. And so the lepers say, well, we're going to die here. Let's go to the Assyrian army and see what happens. And as they walk, God amplified their steps so it sounded like a big old army. So when they got there, there was all this loot and food and stuff, and they were just living like kings. And they go back and they tell the people, and they came and they got food, and God did a miracle. And the guy, the pastor said this, he goes, what if God wants to use your life? What if? And something in my heart went, ding, I saw. And my life trajectory changed because I could see now. How's your sight? Are you able to see life no matter what comes or what how life is? Can you see it through the light of God's goodness? Is God this distant guy that you only hear about and maybe you pray about during lunch and breakfast? Is he some guy you call out to when life is hard, but after that, I got things figured out? Or can you see him every day wooing us and loving us and wanting to show us his goodness? Is God someone who's your friend? Or is God just kind of this mysterious character out there that you wonder about? And is faith just this idea of good luck? Or is faith this confidence in a person who loves you with all of his heart? Can you see it? If you can't, or if you say, Mike, I can only see a little bit. Or like me, I want to see more. I pray this every day over my life. I pray this every day over my wife and my kids. I pray this every day over your life. I am literally praying every day for you and your families and your kids and your grandkids and your cousins and your uncles and your aunts. I'm praying for every person in this valley, because when we see it, life is different. And I pray every time I speak, whether it be here or whether I'm on the field at a Little League game or I'm with my family, or that every time I speak, I'm not just saying words, but I want to have, God, what I want to see what you're doing in the lives of people. And I want to say what you're saying. And I want to see what you're doing. Because you're doing great things. And my heart for this church and my heart for Hope, I'm praying for my friend Jeff and his family. I'm praying for Hope Chapel. Jeff and I, we talked Tuesday, we're praying the same prayer for both, that there's awakening in our valley, not because we're the coolest thing going, we're the most happening thing going, but because people see Jesus. That's what they need. And I believe with all my heart, God is just saying yes. He's saying yes. I'm going to show myself to you in greater, greater measures. But what do we have to do? And I left last week with this thought. I said, are we ready? I left you with this challenge. Are we ready for what God is doing? And here's the answer. Are we at a place where we're ready to learn? Are we at a teachable place? Just like our kids. Man, you tell them what to do, but if they are not ready, it's words that maybe they'll tuck away for later, but at that moment, it's like, that's not sinking in. But when our hearts are ready to learn, we're ready to see. The hope, the inheritance, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. I've got more, but I'm done. Stand with me. I want to pray for sight. I want to pray that you would see. Now, hear what I'm saying. I am not saying you're blind and you're not following Jesus. I'm not. Paul is praying for people that have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. They're followers of Jesus Christ. He's not praying for unbelievers. He's praying for people who are followers of Jesus Christ. He says, I have heard of your faith and your love. I know you are followers of Jesus Christ. And for you, here's what I'm praying for. An ever-expanding revelation. Ever greater wisdom. Also that the eyes of your heart would be open to keep learning and listening and hearing, so that you may know it. You can see it. You can really see it. That's who he's praying for. So understand, this is not like you all are sinners. It's not. It is all of us. There's more to see. There's more to see, gang. I need to be done. Bob, you asked me to pray for you today. Would you come on up? Can I have Marcia and Larry come with them? Anybody else need physical prayer, or you need encouraging prayer? We're going to pray for all of us, but if you need prayer specifically, I'm going to ask you to come up right now, and we're going to pray for you. Would you come on up? I got some people. If you need prayer, it doesn't have to be physical. It could be financial. It could be relational. It could be anything. Does anybody else need prayer? Because we're going to pray. Come on up. Hey, Deb. Hey, Josh. Could you come? Cody, would you come? I don't see Liz. Is Liz sick? Where's Shelly? Liz is baby. Well, bless her heart. God bless her. Cody, come on up. Yay. Come on. Come on, Dwayne. Come on, Eva. Come on. We have oil. We have oil here. Would you? The Bible says we are to anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will raise them up. Dwayne, would you stay? Yeah. Ross, are you standing with your wife, or do you need prayer? Okay, Claire, okay. Okay. Would you pray with me right now? Go ahead, couples. Just go ahead, family. Go ahead and release blessings on them. As you pray, would you, family, would you just simply lift your hands like I am, with like in a posture of receiving? Father, I pray for sight. Father, you don't play hide and seek with your kids as we understand it. You don't play games with us. But Father, you play great games of love for us to reveal to us who you are. And Lord, I am praying also, as Paul did, Lord, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that we may know the hope that you've called us to, the glorious inheritance in the saints, and this incomparably great power for us who believe. Father, I am asking in Jesus' name that it's more than just words, but Father, you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know you better. Father, in the name of Jesus, our valley, this area, every human being, God, they must see that you are who you say you are. And God, through your people, that they would see the reality of Jesus in our lives. Lord, I pray, I'm asking continually over and over again, Lord, that you would give us all sight, from the youngest in this room to the oldest in this room. Let us have sight to see, that we may know it. We would see it, God. Illuminate our hearts. I pray for our hearts, Father, that we would be teachable, we would be humble, we would be willing to learn. That, God, our hearts would be open to be able to learn and receive from you. Because, Jesus, that's how you lived with your father. Every day you just learned and listened to your dad. I pray, God, that that would be our hearts, that we would be willing to listen and to learn. God, I welcome you, Holy Spirit, to do this. And Lord, if any in this house go, honestly, Mike, I don't have a desire for this, I don't have a want for this, then Lord, I pray that in the honesty of that moment, that's what they would talk to you about with a great confidence, Lord, that you are working even in that to prepare our hearts to see. God, in Jesus' name, we believe that you are right now revealing the reality of who you are to the hearts and lives of people. And Lord, more than just a Sunday service, but every day, Holy Spirit, you are there to reveal Jesus to our hearts and our lives. And God, I'm grateful. There's not an age limit. It's not you're too young, you're too old. That God, we are alive today, willing and able to see and learn and respond to who you are. God, we say yes and amen to that because we believe in you, in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on, just take a moment longer, his presence. Father, we welcome you. Come on, just lift your voice for just a moment longer. Lord, we thank you for healing. We thank you, Lord, that you do everything for us to be able to see. Lord, you do everything for us to be able to see, Lord. Everything, God. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. So you might ask, why are our brothers on the ground? Because we see in the scripture, God's presence at time was so strong that you just can't stand. And that's all it is. It's just that in his presence, sometimes he touches us with such a strength that our physical bodies are not able to take it. So we just go down, let him, and we just rest in his presence. I say mas, Señor, mas. More of your presence. More, God, just more. And we bless you for that. in Jesus' name. Okay, this week, family, would you pray for this Sunday, this next Sunday, that God would enlighten our hearts, that we may know the hope. Just read it if you want, but or declare it, memorize it. The hope he's called us to, right? You are a glorious inheritance, and there is incomparably great power for us who believe. Would you pray that that would be manifested, revealed, exposed, done this next week in the lives of people? Would you, how many will just say, I'll agree with you on this next week, okay? And then we're going to go, after that, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3, because if we're not stable in his love, nothing else matters. And Paul says, man, you got to be rooted and established. I'm praying that there's stability, that no matter what, God loves you. That our footing would be this: no matter what comes my way, I know God loves me. No matter what happens, I know it without a shadow of a doubt. God loves me. And when we're stable in love, bring it. We're ready because we're stable in love. We know it. We see it that God loves us. Right? Yeah. So, Father, I bless my family. As Paul said, I thank God every time I remember you in my prayers. Lord, there's something about thanking God for each other. There's something of honoring and releasing blessing when we thank God for each other. And Lord, I publicly thank God for my family. I thank God for their love for all the saints, and I thank God for their faith in Jesus Christ. I thank God for them, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would release such a blessing on their lives, God, that they can't contain it. God, such an amazing blessing, not according to standards of human, but according to the wisdom of God. Release blessings on them, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Yes, and amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Love on somebody, man, and we will see you tonight with hope.